Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This interview comes from episode 25, Toronto Blue Jays.
Ed interviews Toronto native Michael Smolders about the state of both the Blue Jays and the Canadian Little League.
A great baseball PhD. Welcome to Mike Smolders of Toronto, Canada. How are you today, Mike?
I'm doing great, Ed. Thank you.
Now, we're here to talk about the beloved Toronto Blue Jays, but you're a guy trying to get your baseball PhD also. I guess you've got a road trip coming up where you're going to go to the Motor City and the Windy City. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right, Ed. In a couple of days, I'm going to be driving down the 401 to Detroit, and following the Blue Jays, we're going to be playing in Detroit and got some tickets right behind the dugout. So hopefully my kids will be able to talk to some of the players as they'll feel comfortable with seeing a home fans right above the dugout for them. And then right after a game, we're going to be taking the road all the way to Chicago to grab a hotel there and then hit two stadiums. We'll be seeing Wrigley Field on Saturday afternoon. Take the children into the bleacher seats there, which I'm not too sure how that's going to work out, but we'll try it anyway.
Be a little careful, but go ahead. Be a little careful.
Yeah, and then on Monday night, we're going to go to U.S. Cellular and see the Mariners play the White Sox.
That's awesome, and you've got a strategy to keep Mrs. Smolders happy, correct?
That's right, and the only reason I'm allowed to go on this road trip is because we got a great shopping day planned on Michigan Avenue.
She'll love Michigan Avenue. In fact, I just got back from Rodeo Drive, and the overwhelming consensus is Michigan Avenue is a better retail experience than Rodeo Drive. So don't drive another 4 days to get to Rodeo Drive from Chicago. Stay on Michigan Avenue and enjoy.
I will.
Now let's talk about the Sky Dome, because you're going to go in a few days to Detroit and you're going to look at the actual sky. And then you're going to go to Wrigley and U.S. Cellular and you're going to see the sky and the stars and all that. But the Sky Dome, which is now called Rogers Center, is a very historical building for North America. It's the first stadium with a retractable dome. What are your thoughts or what are your memories of the Sky Dome?
Well, you know, some people have two different opinions of the Sky Dome, which is now called the Rogers Center. The first opinion is where I fall in, and that is that I love when I buy a ticket to a baseball game, I know I'm going.
Right.
There's no way that game is going to be rained out, because in 20 minutes they can close the roof and they can seal it up. And the second camp believes that the Rogers Center just really isn't a place to watch baseball because of the dome closing, a lot of concrete, they don't have natural grass. And so really there's two sides of it. But in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with the Rogers Center. It has a beautiful facilities. I've actually been to games before when people from Boston were in walking around and I'd be walking behind them. And, you know, Fenway Park for me is one of the great places that I need to make it for my baseball PhD.
Right.
And these Boston fans walking ahead of me saying, man, this place is great. I love this place. And when I hear that, then I start to understand, you know, I think that we should be pretty happy with the type of facilities that we have in Toronto.
No, in fact, you guys were cutting edge, and here's why. As I get older, Mike, and if my wife was standing next to me, you know, my beloved wife who wants to go to Michigan Avenue, she doesn't go to games voluntarily, but when she does, she starts to say she's a purist and she doesn't want a roof over her head when it's raining to mess up her hair and all that stuff. As I get older, I have an appreciation for a sexy stadium with a retractable dome. I think it's the best of both worlds. Miller Park is awesome. The Florida Marlins are building a stadium. It's going to be a retractable dome. Because the Floridians,
that's the way to do it.
It's
very strange. We're going on this road trip this next week to the three different ballparks without a roof. And for the first time, really, since I've been watching baseball live, I actually have to check out a forecast. And my brother's actually coming along with me, and he called me last night and said, hey, what's going to happen when it gets rained out? And I literally had to say to him, I don't know. I have no idea what happens when a game gets rained out, because we're so blessed here to be able to go to every game.
Right. And you know what? I took my boys to U.S. Cellular earlier in May, and we postponed the trip by one day because the weather report on my iPhone said 100% chance of rain. And now that we live in the information age, let me tell you what happened. they played the game. There was no rain delay or anything. Sometimes we can get paralyzed with too much data. The only advice I would have for you or other baseball PhD people is, what's your strategy if it gets rained out to do some fun activity for Detroit or for Chicago? Just have that in the back of your mind so you can go to plan B. But if you overanalyze, you're going to be sitting in your hotel room 2 hours before the game all stressed out like, is that a cloud? Is that a cloud? What's going on? And you know what? That's part of the game of baseball where I call baseball sophisticated golf. It's sexier than golf. It's faster than golf, but not a lot faster. And it's like, oh, kids, you know what? Sometimes my best memories is during a rain delay when we're eating the extra hot dog and telling the story about why grandma kicked the dog.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was telling my son. He was asking me about the rain and everything too. And I said, you know what, that's just part of baseball and it's something that we haven't got to experience. And you know, something deep inside me actually kind of hopes it actually drizzles or rains at one of the games just so I get that experience.
In fact, up on our Flickr account for Baseball PhD, I took my kids to Wrigley last October 1st. It was a Thursday night. And we saw 3.5 innings of good baseball between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cubs before we got rained out, and I had the best of both worlds. I went to Wrigley. Yeah. We had fun. I bought the tickets on StubHub. Because the game was rained out and not made out at the end of the year, my money magically reappeared on my credit card.
Oh, wow.
So I went to Wrigley for free, and it's like, you know what? We got pictures. We got the tarp on. You can see that throughout the website, the tarp at Wrigley with the Cubs logo, only because God said, let it rain. Who cares between the Pirates and the Cubs on October 1st, 2009? They're both out of it. Just enjoy the view. Enjoy getting off the subway with the mist in the air. This is, you know, Cub baseball, and, you know, have a great time. And, you know, we forget, why was the Sky Dome built? Do you even remember that story?
Well, I'm not too sure exactly about the story, but I can tell you that they needed something bigger.
Yeah, no, you guys were having your Grey Cup, and for American sports fans, that's the Canadian Football Super Bowl. And
correct.
It was a miserable day in Toronto, probably in the early 80s, and everyone, including your prime minister, looked at each other and said, this is November. It's miserable here. We got to do something to be more civilized and have sporting events in the great world city of Toronto in November. And then they said, we got to build the Sky Dome. And I believe, isn't the Sky Dome also the home to the Toronto Argonauts?
That's correct.
And
it
they're
is
pretty
a multifunction
much,
facility.
Yeah, they're like the New York Yankees of Canadian football. And
correct.
It's like, hey, you know, we got to have some sexy stuff. What do you like about the Sky Dome, and what don't you like about the Sky Dome?
Well, obviously, like I said before, I love the fact that nothing will ever get rained out.
Right.
I love the fact that that you can walk around the whole concourse of the stadium. So you can walk from home plate all the way around back to home plate. And they also have multiple levels within the stadium. They have a 500 level, which is massive. Then they have two box levels, 300 and 400. They have a 200 level and a 100, which is right on the field. There also is a lot of functions inside the stadium for children. They have a kid zone, so for baseball PhD fans going and traveling with their children, if you go to the Rogers Center on the 200 level, they have an area where you can bat and pitch and go down slides and all
right.
that type of stuff. And also they have a really great Jay shop, which is great merchandise for
right.
Blue Jays paraphernalia and Major League Beer.
Capitalism lives well, even in Canada. You
yes,
guys know
does.
How to sell all the stuff. And let's not forget what I think is the sexiest baseball hotel in America, the Toronto Renaissance. And the reason why I view it as being sexy is that they have some suites and rooms, but I stayed in what you call a bi-level suite. You have an upstairs, you have a downstairs. You walk in, you got a big living room. The only difference is that you got a huge window, and your huge window looks out into center field of the Sky Dome or Rogers Center. So I brought my family, and we were all piled in watching the game. In about the fourth inning, as we're cheering on our Cleveland Indians, you know, to take it to your Blue Jays, I noticed my wife's missing. So I tiptoe upstairs, and there's the big, fluffy, king-sized bed, and there's the wife sleeping during a rally. And it's like, oh, honey, we can't afford this kind of luxury. Get up. We'll go sit in the bleachers. So that's the only ballpark in all of Major League Baseball land that has that setup. I was in San Diego a couple days ago, and they have the Omni Hotel, and they're bragging that they have a walkway. A walkway from the Omni Hotel to Petco. And it's like, that's nothing. Get to Toronto. Watch reruns of All in the Family while you're watching a Blue Jays game. Order room service while you're watching a Blue Jays game. Take a shower in between innings. Live the good life. And as an American, I'm ashamed that we haven't reinvented Rogers Center in America.
And what's great about those hotel rooms, too, is the windows actually do open to the stadium. So while you're watching the game, if you want to yell at the center fielder or the left fielder, you go ahead because you can always just hide behind the curtains.
No. You are connected to the game. It's not like you're in an aquarium watching silent baseball. You open it up and you hope for someone to hit a 480-foot home run and you catch it before it hits, you know, baby junior as he's sleeping in his little baby chair. But So Rogers Center is nothing short of spectacular, even though, when was it built? In the 80s?
It opened in 1989.
Okay.
It basically, they were playing in Old Exhibition Stadium,
right,
which was where they started in 1977. And around 1985, the Toronto Blue Jays really started to play well, and their team started to be a lot better. And coupled with the fact that they wanted to open up a dome stadium for the Grey Cup, the Blue Jays also needed to be able to add in a few more seats. And so they needed a 50,000 plus stadium to be able to fill it. They did fill it quite often. I believe that their average attendance was 4 million per year in 89 and 91, which obviously afforded them to be able to spend some money for the 1992 and 93, where they were back-to-back World Series champions.
Right. I remember that. Mike, let's talk about Little League Baseball. We've got the Little League World Series getting ready to start in beautiful Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And we want to be an international broadcast. Let's talk about the state of Little League Baseball in Canada. What's going on?
The Little League state in Canada is not as great as it should be right now, and there's a couple of factors for it. The enrollment for House League and rep baseball has actually been declining in the last 5 to 10 years.
And let's talk about what's House League and what's rep baseball.
Okay, House League would basically be just your every player can play. They put the teams together, and everybody plays twice a week, and it's really just for fun, but there are playoffs, and they have champions and that type of thing.
What age group are we talking about?
That would be for any age group, all the way up from T-ball, which would be 4 years old, up until the age of 21, and which you'll finish junior and then have to go and play senior baseball.
Now, I remember when I played Little League Baseball, for me, the cream of the crop or your key years was like 10, 11, 12. In fact, when we're sending kids to Williamsport, those are basically 11 and 12-year-olds, correct?
Correct, exactly.
For that age group, do you have a special name for them in Canada, or that's our 11 and 12-year-old Canadians?
Yeah, no, there's T-ball, and then we call it rookie ball after that, which is where they use a pitching machine for a couple of years at the ages of 7, 8, and then it's called mosquito, and that's during your highlight years of 9, 10, 11, 12, in which they actually start to pitch themselves.
Okay.
So what's happening right now with Little League in Canada is because hockey is our national sport, and we do have an incredible hockey system in Canada, a lot of players are deciding to go into hockey and start to play late in June and early in August, and they just don't have time for baseball anymore. So our house league system has less players, and our house league system is basically our farm system for our rep teams. Our rep teams would be a team that would be put together and go to the Little League World Series, of the best of the best of that age group.
Right.
And because we don't have a proper farm system in the House League, we don't have enough players that are trying out for the rep teams, and therefore we're struggling to really have solid teams. Okay. That being said, even with the small amount of players that are trying out for rep, we do actually have pretty good success in tournaments, both international and within Canada itself.
Your perception is at the tournament level, you guys are still holding your own, but that's the tip of the iceberg. What the average person isn't seeing is that there's not enough kids at the base to keep the strong program going for the next decade.
Well, what happened in the, I believe, the late 70s and early 80s, probably that was a reason because the Toronto Blue Jays came into existence, is Baseball Canada actually started to improve. And now you can see that in the likes of Joey Votto and Justin Morneau. I mean, we've had MVPs being of the Major League Baseball. And we really are getting a lot of solid players. My concern is now that the enrollment has started to decline in 5 to 10 years, what we're going to see is a cycle in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now that we're going to see less players in the major leagues and our national team was actually not going to be as good as it is right now.
Right. Now, you coach in Canada, correct?
Correct. I coach both house league and rep teams.
And are you seeing a decline in batting skills, pitching skills, or it's like, no, they're pretty much the same. I just, instead of me having 20 good guys, I've got 11.
Yeah, that's really what I'm seeing. And to be honest with you, Ed, I'm not concerned about the players. We have, you know, great athletes in Canada. Most of them play hockey in the winter, so they already got great hand-eye coordination, great energy. What my concern is actually the coaching system that we have here. Coaches right now are trained to teach the fundamentals of baseball, the mechanics of baseball, but they're not trained on how to make baseball fun and how to make it fast. And what I would like to potentially do in the future is create an initiative in which I create coaching clinics for coaches, not for players. Because really, without the coaches understanding how to teach the game, the kids are not going to learn and they're not going to improve.
I will be thinking about you as I sit in Williamsport, and I will go out of my way to maybe watch a Team Canada play the U.S., and you know, I'll try to be neutral. But, Mike, thank you very much, and I miss Toronto. Enjoy that city.
Thank you so much, Ed. Take care.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.